Lehrabschlussprüfungen für Kauffrau, Kaufmann. BIFOL 2018. Englisch. Hörverstehen. Serie 1. Each part of this listening comprehension will be played twice. Task A. Look at the notes below. Listen to the monologues. Fill in the missing information. You now have 20 seconds to look at the tasks. Now listen. 1. A message on a company answer phone.
Hi Mike, this is Karen. I've arranged your trip to Hamburg for the International Boat Show. Your flight will be leaving Zurich Airport at 9:05 a.m. on Friday, the 3rd of November, and arriving in Hamburg at 10:30. In order to give you 2 full days for the fare, I chose the latest possible return flight at 7:50 p.m. on Saturday. Concerning accommodation, I've booked you into a 4-star hotel within walking distance of the fairground, so you won't have to rely on public transport or taxi services. The name is Scandic Emporio Hotel. That's capital S-C-A-N-D-I-C, and new word, capital E-M-P-O-R-I-O. It belongs to the biggest Scandinavian hotel chain. It's not exactly cheap. They charge €226 a night, but that's still less expensive than the €333 at the Hamburg Marriott. Well then, have a good trip.
You are going to hear the text again in about 5 seconds.
Hi Mike, this is Karen. I've arranged your trip to Hamburg for the International Boat Show. Your flight will be leaving Zurich Airport at 9:05 a.m. on Friday, the 3rd of November, and arriving in Hamburg at 10:30. In order to give you 2 full days for the fare, I chose the latest possible return flight at 7:50 p.m. on Saturday. Concerning accommodation, I've booked you into a 4-star hotel within walking distance of the fairground, so you won't have to rely on public transport or taxi services. The name is Scandic Emporio Hotel. That's capital S-C-A-N-D-I-C, and new word, capital E-M-P-O-R-I-O. It belongs to the biggest Scandinavian hotel chain. It's not exactly cheap. They charge €226 a night, but that's still less expensive than the €333 at the Hamburg Marriott. Well then, have a good trip.
Now go on to part 2. 2. A radio advertisement for the International Boat Show.
Meet the magic of water sports live at this year's Hansa Boat in Hamburg. After 57 years of success, the International Boat Show will open its doors for the 58th time on October 28. For 9 days, you will have the opportunity to see lots of product innovations, and you will also get valuable tips from international experts. All the top manufacturers will present their latest equipment. Opening hours are from 12 a.m. to 8 p.m. on weekdays and from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at weekends. A 2-day ticket costs €18. After last year's big success, we will offer after-work tickets again. They are valid from 5 p.m. till closing time and come with a bring-a-friend option, meaning that 2 people can enjoy the fair at a special price of only €7. Oh, and kids up to 15 are free. We are looking forward to having you and your family on board.
You are going to hear the text again in about 5 seconds.
Meet the magic of water sports live at this year's Hansa Boat in Hamburg. After 57 years of success, the International Boat Show will open its doors for the 58th time on October 28. For 9 days, you will have the opportunity to see lots of product innovations, and you will also get valuable tips from international experts. All the top manufacturers will present their latest equipment. Opening hours are from 12 a.m. to 8 p.m. on weekdays and from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at weekends. A 2-day ticket costs 18 euros. After last year's big success, we will offer after-work tickets again. They are valid from 5 p.m. till closing time and come with a bring-a-friend option, meaning that two people can enjoy the fair at a special price of only 7 euros. Oh, and kids up to 15 are free. We are looking forward to having you and your family on board.
This is the end of Task A. Task B will begin in about 20 seconds. Task B. You will now listen to Jeff McGinley talking to Isabel Garcia about multitasking. For each question, mark the best answer, A, B, or C. Take one answer only. You now have 30 seconds to look at the task. Ready?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jeff McGinley, and in the studio with me is Isabel Garcia, a correspondent for the Boston Globe. Isabel, thank you for coming here today.
It's a pleasure.
One of your articles has recently caught my eye, namely, multitasking millennials are costing us billions. Now, before we discuss multitasking, could you give us a short definition of the term millennials, which has become quite popular lately?
Well, there are various slightly different definitions, but generally it refers to people born between 1980 and 2000, coming of age in the new millennium.
I understand this generation makes for the biggest part of our society, even bigger than the so-called baby boomers, born between 1946 and 1964, right?
Yes, and it's the first generation that grew up with PCs, tablets, iPhones and game consoles, etc. They have changed our modes of communication and doing business.
Which probably leads us to multitasking.
Right. Unfortunately, that is not such a good idea.
Why? I always thought it was useful to be able to do two or more things at the same time.
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to think that over. Basically, multitasking is just switching between tasks frequently. You might think you're doing two things at once, but actually you are not. Even if you think you're listening to a meeting and checking your email at the same time, you're actually reading a couple of lines of your email, then listening, then reading again. And this constant switching is horrible for productivity.
I see. And such behaviour is typical for the millennial generation, right?
Yes, they're skilled multitaskers, but terrible at focusing on individual projects, costing the economy a lot of money as a result. And as if this wasn't bad enough, regular multitasking is connected to low emotional intelligence and can lower your IQ by as many as 15 points due to the stress it creates.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
As a result, employers waste lots of money on low productivity and increase stress every year.
So, how can these problems be fixed then?
First of all, employers should cut the working week to 32 hours and encourage yoga and meditation. According to data from salary.com, 89% of employees said they waste time at work, with 52% saying they waste an hour or more a day. So employers should encourage focused working, turning off distractions and checking emails less frequently.
What about us employees? Any practical tips on how we can achieve more focus?
Get up in the morning and work on a small but necessary task. If you practice focusing and avoid multitasking, it gets easier over time to focus for longer periods. And after every 2 hours of work, take a 12-minute break and go for a walk or have a chat with a colleague. Get apps like Focus Booster, Track Time or Freedom, which will shut off your social media accounts or track the amount of time you're spending on things.
What if checking emails is part of my job?
Try checking them only once an hour and look at non-work-related social media 3 times a day at the most.
So, we can say that with a little bit of focus, you can get your work done faster and are happier and more productive in the long run.
You are going to hear the text again in about 10 seconds.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jeff McGinley, and in the studio with me is Isabel Garcia, a correspondent for the Boston Globe. Isabel, thank you for coming here today.
It's a pleasure.
One of your articles has recently caught my eye, namely, multitasking millennials are costing us billions. Now, before we discuss multitasking, could you give us a short definition of the term millennials, which has become quite popular lately?
Well, there are various slightly different definitions, but generally it refers to people born between 1980 and 2000, coming of age in the new millennium.
I understand this generation makes for the biggest part of our society, even bigger than the so-called baby boomers, born between 1946 and 1964, right?
Yes, and it's the first generation that grew up with PCs, tablets, iPhones and game consoles, etc. They have changed our modes of communication and doing business.
Which probably leads us to multitasking.
Right. Unfortunately, that is not such a good idea.
Why? I always thought it was useful to be able to do two or more things at the same time.
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to think that over. Basically, multitasking is just switching between tasks frequently. You might think you're doing two things at once, but actually you are not. Even if you think you're listening to a meeting and checking your email at the same time, you're actually reading a couple of lines of your email, then listening, then reading again. And this constant switching is horrible for productivity.
I see. And such behaviour is typical for the millennial generation, right?
Yes, they're skilled multitaskers, but terrible at focusing on individual projects, costing the economy a lot of money as a result. And as if this wasn't bad enough, regular multitasking is connected to low emotional intelligence and can lower your IQ by as many as 15 points due to the stress it creates.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
As a result, employers waste lots of money on low productivity and increase stress every year.
So, how can these problems be fixed then?
First of all, employers should cut the working week to 32 hours and encourage yoga and meditation. According to data from salary.com, 89% of employees said they waste time at work, with 52% saying they waste an hour or more a day. So employers should encourage focused working, turning off distractions and checking emails less frequently.
What about us employees? Any practical tips on how we can achieve more focus?
Get up in the morning and work on a small but necessary task. If you practice focusing and avoid multitasking, it gets easier over time to focus for longer periods. And after every 2 hours of work, take a 12-minute break and go for a walk or have a chat with a colleague. Get apps like Focus Booster, Track Time or Freedom, which will shut off your social media accounts or track the amount of time you're spending on things.
What if checking emails is part of my job?
Try checking them only once an hour and look at non-work-related social media 3 times a day at the most.
So, we can say that with a little bit of focus, you can get your work done faster and are happier and more productive in the long run.
This is the end of Task B. Task C will begin in about 20 seconds. Task C. Listen to Charles Clark and Amy Gibbs talking about working abroad. Please fill in the gaps in the sentences below with a correct form of the keyword or keywords. Use 1 or 2 words. You now have 1 minute to read the sentences below. And here we go.
Amy, you work as a counselor to young professionals who wish to get ahead with their careers. Do you consider it useful for them to work sometime abroad, or do you think that it's just a waste of time?
I definitely think that junior employees should go and work abroad for some time, if possible. It's really worth it.
It may not always be easy for young people to live and work in a foreign country, away from friends and family.
True, this can be difficult and lonely, but the advantages are huge. The freedom to start afresh and to learn about another place, a new culture, learn a new language, and live a life that's completely different from the one you thought you would end up living.
It's certainly also exciting for young people to live in another country for a while. And I suppose this experience of working abroad will also help them to get on with their careers once they're back home, won't it?
Yes, definitely. Although it may depend a bit on the kind of company they work for. But big companies usually don't only need a well-trained, but also a tolerant and flexible workforce. So for them, the more global you are, the better.
How long should such a stay ideally last? I suppose the typical 4-week language course is not what we are talking about, is it?
No. As useful as it may be, that's more like a holiday. I would advise anyone who has the opportunity to work abroad to try it for at least 1 year. That allows you to really get a feeling for another culture and learn the language much more thoroughly.
Which will certainly be an advantage when you have to look for a new job later on.
Absolutely. The more global you are, the better paid you'll be, too.
What do you consider the best age to go and work abroad?
Well, of course, that may vary and also depends on a person's character. But if you go overseas as soon as you have some basic experience in your job, like a completed apprenticeship, it will be easier than later on when you have a family.
With a little bit of luck, the company you work for might also offer you the chance to work for an overseas subsidiary for a while, especially when working for a large multinational enterprise.
You are going to hear the text again in about 10 seconds.
Amy, you work as a counselor to young professionals who wish to get ahead with their careers. Do you consider it useful for them to work sometime abroad, or do you think that it's just a waste of time?
I definitely think that junior employees should go and work abroad for some time, if possible. It's really worth it.
It may not always be easy for young people to live and work in a foreign country, away from friends and family.
True, this can be difficult and lonely, but the advantages are huge. The freedom to start afresh and to learn about another place, a new culture, learn a new language, and live a life that's completely different from the one you thought you would end up living.
It's certainly also exciting for young people to live in another country for a while. And I suppose this experience of working abroad will also help them to get on with their careers once they're back home, won't it?
Yes, definitely. Although it may depend a bit on the kind of company they work for. But big companies usually don't only need a well-trained, but also a tolerant and flexible workforce. So for them, the more global you are, the better.
How long should such a stay ideally last? I suppose the typical 4-week language course is not what we are talking about, is it?
No. As useful as it may be, that's more like a holiday. I would advise anyone who has the opportunity to work abroad to try it for at least 1 year. That allows you to really get a feeling for another culture and learn the language much more thoroughly.
Which will certainly be an advantage when you have to look for a new job later on.
Absolutely. The more global you are, the better paid you'll be, too.
What do you consider the best age to go and work abroad?
Well, of course, that may vary and also depends on a person's character. But if you go overseas as soon as you have some basic experience in your job, like a completed apprenticeship, it will be easier than later on when you have a family.
With a little bit of luck, the company you work for might also offer you the chance to work for an overseas subsidiary for a while, especially when working for a large multinational enterprise.
This is the end of Task C. You now have time to complete your answers. This is the end of your English listening comprehension exam. Please stop writing and hand in your paper.